A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Ahmaduhu wasta'inuhu wastadihi wastafilrahu. Ashhadu la ilaha illahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu alayka rilla al-musallim Muhammadin wa alihi wa habjbin ajma'in as-sabihi ajma'in. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise due to Allah. I seek his assistance. I praise him. I seek his assistance. I seek his guidance. And I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. All praise is due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayah. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessings and my favor upon you and chose Al-Islam as your way of life. All praise is due to Allah, who united the hearts of the believers and has made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have taqwa, regard, consciousness for Allah. Dear Muslims, believers, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Jumma Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ridu lalahi lil yana yil la smala li yu bayni bayna laikum. Well, yeah, do lakum sunana ladina min qablakum well, ya tuba alaykum wallahu alimun hakim. And we say salakallahu wadeen. The expression is as follows: Allah wants to make clear to you and to guide you to the good practices of those before you and to accept your repentance. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And this is Surah 4, and he said, ayat 26, and we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. Today is Qutbah title, the month of Ramadan, 10 days at a time. The month of Ramadan, 10 days at a time. Report of hadiths of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that it is the month whose beginning 10 days is mercy, its middle 10 days of forgiveness, and its end is freedom from the fire of hell. Another related reported hadith of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said Allah has said, none of you truly believes until his desires are subservient to that which I have brought. The last reported related hadith for today, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said the prophet is reported to have said, the Allah Almighty said, every deed of the son of Adam is for him except for fasting. It is for me and I will reward it. It is for me and I reward it. Fasting is a shield, so when one of you fasts, he may not be obscene or boisterous. If someone insults him or fights him, let him say, indeed, I am fasting. By the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, the breath coming from the mouth of a fasting person is more pleasant to allow than the scent of musk. The fasting person has two moments of relief when he enjoys that he enjoys. When he breaks his fast, he is joyful, and when he meets his Lord, he is joyful for his fasting. So we say, alhamdulillah. So this kibbah is on the eve of the month of Ramadan. And I've had this on my mind all week, really for the last few weeks. And I know that for me, I'm always surprised at how Ramadan seems to have gotten back here so fast. It just seems like, especially over the last year when we were dealing with this pandemic, we were just dealing with Ramadan and we were just going through Ramadan. But I'm even more amazed by the fact that it always shows up when it's most needed. You know, our lives sometimes get to the point where we need something to bring us back to a place that we can regain our focus. And when I, was at Salem College, I had a professor who would give us an assignment, and it was called the Totem Pole Assignment. And what you were to do was to list the most important things under different situations. And for that class, it was a business course. But he had us do all type of different situations. So as we enter this sacred month, and I call it a sacred month because of the significance of Ramadan, we should treat it no less than a sacred month. I believe this is a time for all of us to look at our own totem pole and see what is important to us and how we can change it around to make sure we get what should be important at the top of the totem pole. When Allah says in the beginning of this ayat, Yaridu Allahu, it's wants, his wishes, and it tends. Allah wants, he desires something. And this means that to bring about something. And just like the words are different, but when Allah says he wants to do something, he says, Kum fayakum, be it as it is. So when Allah intends to do something, it has that same effect. You know, I often think about when Allah wants to do something, there's no wavering. There's nobody trying to talk Allah, out of it. We often do things and we have the thought of outcomes. When we do something, we think about what the outcomes are going to be, what's going to happen inside of what we're doing. We give so much thought, and even in a lot of things, we might even go to somebody and get their opinion on it. You know, just like when I prepared, this kibbah right here, I prepared it with seeking Allah's help and direction and to please Allah. And I know that, I know what outcome I would like. But until it's over and we taslim, I won't know how I feel about it till it's over with. And I definitely won't know what God thinks about it at all. But for God, he already knows the outcomes of the decisions he makes. So in this, we can look at a totem pole. And we know that our totem pole individually has on it. And Allah knows as well. And I cannot speak to anyone but myself, but I'm saying that if what is on your totem pole, I'm not saying that I can't judge what's on your totem pole is good or bad. I'm stating that we may need to look at it where those things that are on your totem pole, where are they on your totem pole? And I bring this up not because it is what I think we should use that as an example, but because in the next part of the ayah, Allah says, Allah wants to make clear to you. The example of the totem pole is for us to make clear to ourselves what is important and why. Without, I don't want to say that, but making something, it makes something very clear to us. If we hadn't really realized that it was that important to us or that high on our totem pole. You know, making something clear. Li yubayna, subhanAllah, in the ayat is li yubayna. Allah wants to be distinct. He wants us to separate. He wants to separate something. You know, sometimes when you get something all by itself, last week we dealt with technology. So, all week I've been alone trying to get this technology together, trying to get a better, clearer understanding of it. When you get something all by itself, you can understand it better. And that goes for ourselves as well. Well, the month of Ramadan is coming to work on our lives so we get a better understanding of our lives. And inside of that month, there should be something in it that and will make a whole lot of things clearer to us. You know, the word Bayna is it also means explanation, right? It means explanation. Allah says to us, "Is the month in which the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was first bestowed from on high as a guidance unto man and a self-evident proof of that guidance." That's very important to remember. And as the standard by which to discern the true from the false. So please forgive me for not, I'm not wanting or I'm not intending, you know, those are the words for the day, right? To give what I consider could be a Ramadan khutbah. I do consider it a Ramadan khutbah, but it's before Ramadan. But I'm seeking to make clear to us how important those 29 or 30 days are going to be for us. And as we move on, inshallah, you will see that as well. So in what I just read, Allah tells us that the Quran was sent down in the month of Ramadan. So when we look at this, inside of this month, we were given the Quran as revelation. And inside of this month, we were given the last messenger of God in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for all of mankind. He was sent for all of mankind. And we were given a chance to use those gifts in which I really could call mercy. And I'll explain that as we can use those as a way of guidance. Allah says in today's chosen ayat, he says, Allah wants to make clear to you and to guide you to the good practices of those before you. So first we have to understand that before the Quran, there was revelation. That's clear. We have to understand that. We have to accept that. And most people might be saying, well, why are you titled this 10 days at a time? The reporting hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that Ramadan is the month whose beginning is mercy. The first 10 days of Ramadan is mercy. So the first 10 days of Ramadan in which we received the revelation, we received the prophet, and in which we have been blessed to see in the past and inshallah in the future, is mercy. Is mercy. Allah says, and as I bring this first part to a close, again, I'm going to have a few more references in this khutbah, but we're going into a time during the month of Ramadan that we should be deeper into the Quran. We should be deeper into the life example of Muhammad. So please bear with me and understand and come on with me. Allah says, and we have not sent you except as a mercy to all the worlds. When we look at mercy, the Quran is mercy, the prophet, who is the living example of how to establish our lives based on the Quran's mercy. And it's not that those are the only days that we receive mercy. No, Allah of mercy overreaches his wrath. But for us today, in what I'm presenting, the first 10 days, we can look at that mercy in a different way. And of course, we know there's more mercy to be given and in other ways, but looking at it and see it that what Allah wishes to guide us, it begins first by him being merciful enough to decide to guide us.
Lord, give us goodness, life, and give us goodness after and put us in the fire. Amen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahir Rabbil Alameen. The month of Ramadan, 10 days at a time. So Allah sent us the Quran as a guidance, right? Imam Muhammad, who's speaking about Ramadan, he brings back up, he makes a point about the ayah that I read where Allah talks about sending it down in the month of Ramadan. Imam said, the month in which descended the Quran as a guidance for all people, and as clear guidance of the criteria of what is guidance and what is not guidance. Now, for me, that gives me the meaning of those words that also that we've looked up. Bayna.
And it also tells us that this guidance is not just to make us go a certain way. Yeah, we want to be guided in the right way. We want to be guided for the right things. But it also makes us realize that some things are not guidance, even though they look and they look like it or they sound like it. Right? I guess they're saying right now that all skin folk ain't kin folk. It's sort of like that. Just because they sound like they should be able to tell you something you need, or they look like they should tell you something you need, it doesn't. Or they've taken the same shahada, and you just think, okay, because they took it, that does not make it guidance. This is important because Allah doesn't just want us to be guided without some form of purpose. Then there's a reason why. And it goes back into the grammar because there's a causative in the Yaridu, in what he wants. That's a causative. That's a form four. So there's a reason why he wants this. Allah just doesn't want us to be guided without some form of purpose because Allah is the best of guides. He's El Hadi. And you know that's one of my favorite attributes of Allah, the guide. He is the best guide to the right path we have in our lives. And in all the lifetime of humankind, all the lifetime of creation. But the guidance that Allah is speaking of, he says, guide you to the good practices of those before you. Now, this word for practices is sunnah, right? And this is where we get the word sunnah from. So Allah wants us to guide us to what we practice. He wants us to guide us to what our behavior should be and can be. He wants to guide us to our mode of life. And I believe that we need to understand that this is why this is what happens during the month of Ramadan. More than any other time in the year, this is when Allah is guiding us to get into that mode that he wants us to be in. You know, this month of Ramadan, that guidance into our lives is like under the spotlight. So remember that totem pole. Now, during the month, we leave off some things, right? We look at that totem pole. We say, no, that can't be important this month. We leave off things that we do every day because we have something else to do. We have something else to make us to spend more time on. And I'm not saying those things are good or unimportant, but they just naturally are repositioned on the totem pole during the month of Ramadan. These practices of those before us, Allah has given us examples, not just in Muhammad, but in all the prophets. He even has given us examples in others who were not prophets, right? He guides us with those whom he deems worthy to give some inspiration or some intuition to. He has given certain people wisdom, right? We read Surah Luqman, right? We understand that he's not titled a prophet, but he was given wisdom of a prophet. So this happens when Allah intends to do what he wants to do. So yes, we can learn from our grandmothers. We can learn from our grandfathers, our parents. We can learn from whoever it is that has set an example for us that Allah intended for us to learn from. We do not know what or who Allah will use to guide us. That he doesn't inform us about. We do know that he has told us in this book, the Quran, and in the person of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is sure mercy and guidance for us. Again, the Prophet is reported to have said that indeed, when I was given the Quran and something similar to, along with it, right? Now, I know the root word that's in the ayah sunana is often to refer to in the hadith, that hadith, where they say that I've been given the Quran and I've been given my Sunnah. But we should not limit the example that Muhammad truly is by just saying his Sunnah. Yes, it is his mode of life. It is his behavior. He is an example. It is the Quran. This means that it is available for all of us. In Muhammad, Allah makes clear and distinct to us that what we have in him, uswatun hasnatun, an excellent example. He does not say in Muhammad you have his sunnah. I believe this is because in the Quran is the sunnah.
The Quran is Sunnah. It's the Sunnah that Allah has set for his creation. Now, I'm not in no way, I'm trying to make sure that in not lowering how we should feel or look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, oh, we shouldn't say it soon. I'm not doing that. I'm looking at the bigger picture. The limiting, we shouldn't limit something that's too big for one little word. I'm just making sure that we understand that even he was showing us an example of how the Quran is that guide, not just to how he lived, but all of those who live that way. That's the way God wants us to live. And this means, yes, the prophets, alayhi salam, others who were examples for us. And I've said this before, that if someone cannot seem to get the example or grasp how to get to study the life of Muhammad, then they should just read the Quran and see the guidance in there, because it's the same guidance we have in Muhammad. But being guided to those ways of those before us is to turn our lives in the right direction and make us see the path even clearer. Can you imagine being on the road and it's dark? And when the Quran comes, it brings light. But if it lights up, then all of a sudden there's so many roads. It was totally dark and you get all the light. Now you see all these roads. How do we know which road is best to take? This is also why the guidance and the mercy is so important, because we can see clearly which roads to travel, because the Quran is designed for us to do that. This is also the ways of those before us, where it comes in. We can see the roads they traveled. Those lessons learned as a child. Those lessons learned when you didn't even know someone was teaching you a lesson. Just later on in years, you just say, you know what? I remember so-and-so was telling me and showing me about this. Now I see. And I didn't even know it. And when we want to say, you know, okay, how do I put all of this together? Then we can look at the Quran and the mercy, you know, of God. You know, Allah did not just release the Quran to Barnes & Noble. And it made the number one book-selling list. And then everybody decided, oh, since it's number one book-selling, oh, you know, I could take a shot. I say, Oprah, it's Oprah Book Club. It's not on Oprah's Book Club. And where everybody decides to go buy it. No, it was his mercy to release it to those who were inside of a dark place. A place with no light, with no hope. You know, and it's also where some of us were when we received the revelation for the first time. You know, it was released for those who have made it a way that they have oppressed others in this world. It's released for all of these people. And this was for those who would believe and for those who will not. It was for a chance for both sides to be guided and also seek forgiveness. You know, sometimes as believers, we have to look at forgiveness more because we're not doing all we can do. And I'm not speaking to like overthrowing the government, anything like that. I'm saying that over time, many have just over the years sat by. And we know that, you know, when we look at the chattel slavery, there were people that just sat by, Muslims that just sat by and let it happen. So that's very important that we have to understand that. There were many who just sat by, watched, turned their head when something was wrong or when something was going on. The tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to say you got three things to try to do, to try to change it. You can try to change it with your hands. You can speak on it. Or you can feel so bad about it in your heart, but yet that's the weakest of the faith. But Allah wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive us for what we do. So we're in the second 10 days now, the forgiveness. We're seeking forgiveness. It is the month whose beginning is mercy and its middle is forgiveness. We are to seek Allah's forgiveness, speaking to the month of the Ramadan during the middle 10 days and in all our lives, all day, every day. It's reported that the Prophet said that he asked for forgiveness over 70 times a day. And in another narration, he said he asked for forgiveness over 100 times a day. That bad. It means to repent. God wants to forgive us for having our totem pole all mixed up. This happens. But now here comes the mercy of Ramadan, the mercy of the Quran. And we can now see to be forgiven by Allah for whatever it is that we have done or not done. This is what we have to focus on during the second 10 days. Again, the first 10 and the second 10 are to get us to understand that the other 326 days, we could understand them better. And what happens, and the last 10 days as well, that's why it's 226. But what happens outside of the month of Ramadan? That's what we have to want. We have to make sure we concentrate on once we come out of it. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We make errors. We have sins. Knowing that God is looking to forgive us is mercy all in itself. Now, this doesn't mean you go and you make sin or you do things wrong, but to know that if we can recognize this and learn from it, then we're putting the right order in our lives. The prophet is reported to have said that there is no man who commits a sin, then he makes wudu, then he performs salat, then he seeks forgiveness from Allah, except that Allah forgives him. At the end of the month is the restoring, right? The return, right? So tawbah, it means return as well. Our repentance is us returning to that correct original nature we have been created with. You know, our father Adam, alayhi salam, he made a mistake after he was created. Let me make sure we get that clear. He made a mistake after he was created. But what got the path cleared was the repentance that was made. It was the acceptance of God's will as to what the life that we should lead. When you repent to God, then it must be from your heart. You can say I'm sorry to another person and not mean it. Not mean one letter in the I'm sorry. But there's no fooling God. Why? Because if it is not in your heart, your soul, and he's close to us in our jugular vein, then what you were just saying has no meaning. There must be action inside of the repentance. This means that from asking for forgiveness, you must now move on in some direction that doesn't want you going back down that road again. This is the goal. And if I know this is not good for me, I need to try my best to leave it alone. This means it has to be more than just lip service. Right? The prophet said that none of you truly believes until his desires are subservient to that which I have brought. We have to put our totem pole in the proper order. And let what he has given us in his example lead the way. Be on top of that totem pole. And I say this also, the last 10 days. Now, the last 10 days is seeking to avoid the hell. Seeking to avoid the hell. If we repent and continue, then we must want to see the hell. We must want to be in the hell. Not just in the next life, but in this life as well. We can see the hell. We can be in the hell. That place where we know we should not be comfortable. This is why we have to seek the mercy from our hearts. We have to seek forgiveness from our hearts and seek not to be in hell in our souls, in our hearts. Imam Muhammad said, follow with your heart and it will change your life. Ramadan comes to change our lives. Again, it keeps coming. The revelation keeps coming every year. To try to give you an opportunity, to give us an opportunity to change our lives. And for some, in the better, and for some in the worse. But that is what it's designed to do. This is why we have to look at this month with a determination of elevating ourselves. If you have read in the morning, then find something else to read in the evening. If you have made all your five salats, then make tawif, make shafi, witr. Do more. In the month of Ramadan, if in the month of Ramadan we cannot do extra, then why do we expect Allah to do anything? This is why it has to be in our heart for it to change our lives. It changes our lives 10 days at a time. 10 days at a time. Yes, we have all three to look forward to during the month of Ramadan. But we can just concentrate on just one thing at a time. That's mercy in that. It's been spelled out for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says through his messenger, and now the narration of the hadith that I used earlier, said that Allah Almighty said, whoever abandons his food, drink, and desires for my sake, fasting is for me and I will reward it. A single good deed up to 10 times the like of it. The fast is not for us. Then everything else we do aside of the fast, we can gain rewards for. If it's in our hearts, if our intentions are correct. This is why every morning we have to say we're fasting before we make the fajr. You have to declare your intention. Just like in a few minutes, we're going to make intentions to make Salatul Juma. In just a few minutes, I'm about to wrap it up. But we have to say our intention to fast to the Lord of all systems of knowledge, not the Lord of food or drink or anything else, but the Lord of the heavens, the Lord of the earth, and the Lord of all systems of knowledge. Seeking the three during the month of the Ramadan would take effort. Not once today have I said anything about eating or drinking is what we have to be worrying about doing, and that's it. Yes, it's inside of the fast. For those who can do it, but it's not what's for us. It's not what makes the fast. Because we're told that if you give up these things but still have your totem pole in the wrong order, then your fast would not be accepted. This is why we have to focus on mercy, forgiveness, and seeking the torment. Allah will know if we are focused on the correct things. He is Al-Alim, the all-knowing. This means that Allah has the knowledge. He has the information. He has the intelligence regarding all things. Nothing escapes his awareness. You know, to go along with that is the fact that Allah is Al-Hakim, the wise. This means that both of these meanings that I'm using right here are English for the understanding. The wise means Allah has a deep understanding, a keen discernment, and the capacity for sound judgment. That's in English. Remember, fasting is for Allah. And we have to accept that his will is what we will abide by in our lives. El Alim comes from Alame, right? The same root we get Rabbi Alameen. We get Alameen from. The systems are all knowledge. I don't know who's calling that phone. SubhanAllah. There is no avoiding this, and Allah is the most wise for our lives. So we must take this month and look at our return and our going forward. And as I today close today's khutbah, we cannot come out of this month still at the same spot we go into it. That's we cannot do that. And I said we cannot do that. If you do anything for 21 days, it becomes a habit. That's the science. That's science. Science proven fact. Ilm, in the same root word as alima. They say if you know better, then you will do better. That's exactly what Allah wants us for us. You redo. To know better and to do better. He wants us to see it clearly. Right? Begina. He wants us to see it clearly. All we have to do is take the month of the Ramadan 10 days at a time.
Now, inshallah, I have given something to benefit the day, which all praise due to Allah. And if any errors, of course, I'm responsible for. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka wahhab. Agani, Lord, let not our deviate thou hast guided us, but grant mercy unto us, thou that granted bounty without measure. Ameen.